And I want to challenge you for 2015 from our passage here, because Paul here in Philippians chapter 3, he's talking about how he uses words like apprehended and attained, and words we don't necessarily use a lot, but really what he's trying to say, and he's saying, I haven't arrived yet. I have not arrived yet. Now you know, if the Apostle Paul felt that way, many times I go back to the Apostle Paul to help me with different areas of my life, and in counseling many times I will talk to folks about the Apostle Paul as just such a good example of a man who was just very humble. He did great things, but you'd never know it by what he said. He was always striving to do more. Amen. You know, the Apostle Paul, who may have been more righteous than most of us would ever imagine, you know, he's the one in Romans 7 that said, you know, I just can't do right. I try to do right, but I don't do right. And that's the same guy. And here in Philippians 3, I love the passage, because he talks about, you know, all the things that he did, and how, as far as his flesh, as far as being a human being, he was a famous guy. He was a leader. He was, but he was serving the devil. You know, he wasn't doing what was right. And then he got saved, and he recognized how he wanted to be like Christ, but he just couldn't achieve it. You know, I can't attain it. I've not apprehended that. I'm not there yet. But here's what he said. And this is the challenge today. I press toward the mark. Amen. He said, I'm not going to be, I know I haven't arrived, but I'm not stopping there. I know that I haven't attained, but I'm not stopping there. He said, I'm going to keep going. Now look, we all had victories in 2014. We had some defeats as well. Everybody in the room did. But look, keep going. Press toward the mark. There's a great plan for 2015. I press toward the mark. Father, bless now the preaching of thy word. Thank you for the beautiful music today. And just always thank you for those that give their time and their talent to sing, to play instruments. Thank you for our Sunday school classes and all the teachers, and the time and effort that is put forth in our classes, and the nursery workers and junior church and the bus workers and shepherds and all that goes on. Thank you so much. Help us, God, as a church, as individuals, as Christians, as your children, help us to press toward the mark this year, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I'm fearful that so many have no goals. You know, so many Christians have no, of all people. I mean, I can understand the world sometimes, people not having any goals. They just get set in their ways and just kind of go on. But it's hard to imagine as a Christian we wouldn't have goals. If today you think that you've arrived, hey, you know, last year I read through my Bible. By the way, how many of you read through your Bible last year? Oh, praise the Lord, that's great. We need to start, excuse me, next week we'll get our paper out and get you to sign up for that. We'll give you a certificate, and what a blessing. But, you know, I did it. Well, that's good. Amen. Do it again. Amen. I mean, so many folks have no goals, but as a Christian, it seems like we should always have goals. If the Apostle Paul said, I've not arrived, I can't imagine anybody in the room, this room, thinking that we've arrived. I just can't. From the pastor all the way to anybody in the congregation, I cannot imagine any of us walking out saying, well, I've arrived, there's nothing more. We should all have some goals. We should all have a mark. We should all have the same mark of the Apostle Paul. And that is, you know, I want to be everything God wants me to be. When we were young, you remember, and for me it was a long time ago, you would say, well, I'll race you too. You know, I'll race you to the tree. I'll race you to the house. I'll race you to that rock over there. There was always something. You know, there was some mark, if you will, where we were going to race people to. I was thinking about this as I was working on the message this week. I was thinking about the time, I think it was Jacob Hollins. We were at the fair ministry, and Jacob was out there with Noella, and they were standing there, and they're cousins, of course, and we had competition going. You know, okay, who first person to that is going to win? First person to there and back, and really, we were just trying to get them away from us, but in love. But anyway, and I mean, they're just, boy, they're ready to go. Yeah, okay, let's go. I think Noella beat him. I'm not sure. But no, she probably didn't. Did you, Noella? Yeah, I think she did. But I think she's older and wiser. No, but anyway. But, you know, you have a mark and you say, okay, first person to that is the winner. That's what we need to do as Christians. We need to set some marks in our life, some areas of our life that we have goals. You know, the Bible says where there's no vision, the people perish. And if we have no goals, if we have no marks in our life where we can say, you know, I haven't arrived here yet. I want to arrive at least farther. I want to get closer to that this year. You know, I've not arrived at this area of my life, and I want to at least get closer. You say, well, I read half the way through the Bible this year. Well, then read 3/4 next year. You know, decide that you're going to set some marks, some goals, if you will. Get a vision in your life so that you can move forward. That's what we're supposed to do as Christians. You know, Paul was consumed with this thing. Paul was consumed. You read it in the writing, in the scriptures, that, you know, he was consumed. You know, before he was saved, he says, and look at verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul said, I was pretty good in the flesh. I had a lot. He said, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. He knew the law. He was a student of the law. As touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal. But then he said, persecuting the church. In the flesh, he was a hero. As a human being, he was a star. He had the money. He had fame. He had wealth. He had all those things. And then he got saved. In verse 8, he said, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He said, I had all that stuff going for me, but I got saved, and I just want to know Jesus. He said, I just want to know Jesus. He said, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, all of my life, all that past. He said, I count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He said, I've got a new goal now. At one time, I had a goal of making lots of money. At one time, I had a goal of being famous. At one time, I wanted to move up as a Pharisee. At one time, I wanted to move up in the military. And he had all these goals, but he said, I got saved. And now I just want to win Christ. I want to be like Jesus. And he said, all that other stuff's gone. I love it. He said, my bank account, all those things, my medals that I received and any awards, he said, I count them but dung. And he says in verse 9, he says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. By the way, our own righteousness can't get us to heaven. I don't care how much righteousness you have. Doesn't matter today. Doesn't matter how, you know, I do this, I do that, I read my Bible, I'm a member of the church, I got baptized, I do all these. Our righteousness cannot get us to heaven. Paul realized, he said, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Boy, I love it. But he goes on, and he says, but I want to, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. There's power. Folks, we talked about it in the book of Revelation. We're toward the end here. We're in the battle of Armageddon. And man, I'm telling you, there's power in the Word of God. There's power in the name of Jesus. But there's power in the resurrection. And he said, I want to know it. I want to know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. By the way, that little statement right there is why a lot of folks shirk away from the life that Paul had. Amen. That's why a lot, you know, we just say, whoa, wait a minute here. Oh, I like that power. I like knowing God. But, oh, the fellowship of his suffering? Ooh, Paul said, I want it all. He said, I want it all. By the way, he got it. Being made conformable unto his death, verse 10 again. And then it goes on. By the way, this is all introduction. In verse 11, he says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, if I could just have that kind of power, if I could just have that kind of life, if I could pray and my prayers be answered, if I could talk to someone and they tremble because of conviction. Paul said, I want to have that kind of life. I want to have a life where God is blessing and God is in my life. But here's what he said, and he knew this. By this time, you have to understand, he's a leader. He's a great Christian. By this time, you know, you have to realize by this time, he is already suffering for the cause of Christ. But even Paul said this in verse 12. He said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. He said, I haven't arrived. I mean, by this time, many would say, wow, look at him. But he said, no, please don't look at me. I haven't arrived yet. He said, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. To apprehend is to grab onto. He said, I'm trying, I'm reaching. But he said, I haven't arrived yet. And he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't done it yet. I haven't reached it. I haven't achieved that yet. Amen. That's the Apostle Paul. He's not arrived yet. And so he says this. He says in verse 13, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I haven't arrived yet, but I'm pressing toward the mark. He said, I'm pressed toward that mark. Hey, if you have no goals for 2015, If you have no vision for 2015, if you have no mark in your Christian life, let me ask you a question. Have you arrived? Have you arrived? Well, you say, no, you know, I just, listen to me, please. Let me challenge you today to get some goals, to press, have something that you're after. If you haven't arrived, okay, is it because you're afraid? Why wouldn't we press? What are you afraid of? Afraid of failing? But to not even try is to fail. Amen? Oh, I could never read through. Yes, you can. You can read through your Bible. Well, I could never pray every day. You can pray every day. But you won't if you don't start out, if you don't try. You won't. Are you afraid? Are you afraid of verse 10? You know, that I may know him and then the fellowship of his suffering. Are you afraid of that? You know, every time I get close to God, every time I walk with God, every time I spend time with God, I'm faithful, I read my Bible, I tithe, I do all the things I'm supposed to do. It seems like something happens. Read the book of Job. Don't be surprised. Peter said, don't be surprised with suffering and trials. Don't think it strange. Think it not strange of the fiery trials which are to try you. It's not strange. It's part of it. You know, are you afraid? Is that why we have no goals? Is that why we won't do it? Are we apathetic? We just don't care. I mean, I'm afraid one of those three things would be true. We either have already arrived. By the way, if you think you have, you're wrong. Or we're afraid, or we're apathetic. A challenge of this first service of 2015, press toward the mark. Press toward the mark. Let me give you three things will be done. Number one is the destination. It's the mark. The destination. It's the goal. It's the mark. We could have many. But I mean, ultimately, the Apostle Paul is simply saying, in my Christian life, I've not arrived. I'm pressing toward arriving. He said, I'm not mature as a Christian. The Apostle Paul, yeah. He said, I haven't apprehended. I haven't grabbed hold of all that God has for me yet. But he said, I want it. And he targeted it. He had a mark set where, hey, I'm going toward that thing. The destination is that goal. He admitted he hadn't arrived yet. He said, I'm going to keep going though. Could you today get on an old-fashioned altar and an invitation and just say, God, I did not arrive in 2014, but I want to arrive in 2015. I want to do it. I want to keep going. The destination, the mark. He called it here a prize. The prize of the high calling. I press toward the mark for the prize. We immediately think of winning a race. We think of a prize. We think of athletes who win the prize. We're in bowl season. This was one of the best bowl seasons I think we've had. Great games, a lot of good games. I know your team, you know, maybe it didn't win and all of it, but it's been exciting. And you see all the work people put into winning the prize. We think of the 4-H. We went to Hillsdale 4-H Fair. For the first time, to look at all that the Halls do. The Halls are in our Christian school. And just amazing. All the work that goes into winning that prize. You know, that blue ribbon. Boy, that's so exciting. And it's for the prize. It may be an advance at work. Somebody working toward a prize. It could be a trophy. It could be money. It could be any number of things. But in the... Look at from the Apostle Paul's standpoint, I want the prize God has for me. Amen. We have this idea somehow that may not be so great. We'll work hard to win a prize at work. You know, I want to get that promotion. We'll work hard to win an athletic prize, and I want to get that trophy. And in reality, you know, seriously, I won a lot of trophies when I was younger, just different kinds of things, and I don't even know where they all are. I was in Boy Scouts and won all kinds of things and achieved all kinds of awards. I don't have any idea where those things are. Are you listening? They're somewhere. I don't know where they are. I'm thinking of one year I won the county ping pong championship years ago. I mean, I was just a young guy and had this nice trophy. I have no idea where that trophy is. You say, oh man, you ought to, you know, well, ping pong, really? It'd be like, you know, tiddlywinks. But anyway, the thing is, there's something that is eternal. And I got news for you, folks. Honestly, all those things, you know, we have trophy cases, just a couple of trophy cases over at the school. We have all kinds of trophies from our master clubs and different things. But do you realize that those trophies and all that stuff, the Antichrist is going to get all that stuff. Rapture takes place. We're not, Brother Chase isn't going to rush into the school and grab all our trophies. Like, we got to take these with us. We got to have our state championship banners. It doesn't matter. But there is a prize. There are crowns the Bible talks about. We'll not get into all the crowns, but there's crowns. You say, yeah, but preacher, I mean, those crowns, we don't keep them. Yeah, but you do the very best thing you can do. It's our way of saying thank you to Jesus. Amen. We cast them at his feet. And I know that doesn't, you know, it doesn't seem to appeal. Well, it won't appeal to your flesh. But it ought to really get your spirit excited. Yeah, yeah. But to hear him say two words, well done. What a prize. What a wonderful prize that is. I just want to hear him say, well done. The Apostle Paul, you know, he knew who he was. He knew what he was. He knew he fought with sin. He knew he dealt with sin in his own life, in his own flesh. And he knew what he was, and he knew when he failed, and he knew when he succeeded, and he knew, you know, all those things. And he just summed it up so well. He said, you know, I have not arrived yet, but I'm pressing toward that mark. I'm going to keep going because there's a prize. I love the song, I wonder have I done my best for Jesus. You know what? If you don't know that song, I would encourage you to get to know it. At the end of the day, ask yourself that question. I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? You know, he did his best for us when he died on the cross and he rose from the grave. Have you done your best? At the end of the day, can you say, I did my best? At the end of 2014, could you say, I did my best? I'm not saying you failed. He knows we're going to fail. The blood of Jesus, it cleanses us from our unrighteousness. He knows it will fail. But did you get up after you failed and keep going toward that mark? There's a prize, a destination, it's a mark, it's a prize. It's also the high calling of God, Paul said. I mean, if we would all recognize that our God has something for us, he has something for you individually, his high calling, his call for your life, his course for your life, his plan for your life. There are some things that are obvious, reading our Bible, praying, being faithful to church, soul winning, telling folks about the Lord, giving. Those are obvious things. But there's a high calling, the Bible says. We are not to sell short what it is we can do for the Lord. If you work in the nursery, that's a high calling, God said. If you're an usher, that's a high calling. It's not something to say, well, all I am is a... There is no all I am in the service of the King. It's all important to Him. It's a high calling of God. Maybe it's cleaning. Maybe it's cleaning a toilet. Maybe it's driving a bus, or maybe it's working on a bus. Maybe it's any number of things. Everything in the service of the King is important. It's a high calling. Oh, don't sell short the destination. It's a high calling of God for your life. There are no big shots in heaven. You know, one of the blessings of being a pastor is watching the altar call. And I'm telling you, at the altar, it's all equal. I've watched people at the altar, and I've watched people that have been saved for years pouring out their heart to God, and I've watched new converts over here pouring out their heart to God. I've watched people that have lived a pretty squeaky clean life over here pouring out their heart begging God to help them, and I've watched folks that have lived a pretty wicked life down here at the altar doing the same thing. Don't sell short the high calling of God. What He has for you, what He wants you to do, because it's the high calling of God, Paul says, in Christ Jesus. Verse 14 again. In Christ. What are you talking about, preacher? Well, I'm talking about this. You know, they're talking now about in sports putting advertising on jerseys. Did you hear about that? I was reading about that, and I got a kick out. I just thinking of some unique advertising we won't get into. But advertising on jerseys, like a race car. You know, race cars nowadays, you can't hardly see the car. All you see is all the different sponsors and everything. But I was thinking about that. You know, when one of those race cars with all that advertising on it, when that person wins, well, not only does the driver win, but all those names that are on there, they also win. You know, everybody sees that. If it's whatever the sponsor is, they also win. You know, when I reach my mark, do you understand? I win, but all the glory goes to Him. Amen. He's my sponsor. Amen. And all the glory goes in. It's in Christ Jesus. Hey, when we fail, that goes on Him too. And the world says, yeah, there's another Christian that didn't work out. There's another person who says they're saved. Look at their life. What a sad thing. What a sad testimony. Huh? The destination is the mark. It's a prize. It's a high calling of God. It's in Christ Jesus. Number two is the determination. I love what Paul says, I press. Press is just part of the word pressure. Here's why a lot of people, you know, honestly, they get burned out, they get bent out of shape when you start talking about this pressure. That's why this room's not full today. Because of pressure. I don't want it. We don't want pressure. We just want to exist. I mean, honestly, the existing type of Christian life churches are all out there where you can just exist. You're not going to hear this kind of preaching. You're not going to hear somebody get up and say, hey, we need to get busy. We need to work. We need to serve. People are going to hell. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that kind of stuff, preacher. No. I just want to, I'm being a good person, and that's good enough. But it's not. It wasn't good enough for the Apostle Paul, and it ought not be good enough for us. It cannot be good enough for me. It cannot be good enough for you. I press, he said, I press toward the mark. Pressure. And most Christians today want to avoid pressure. We don't want it. We don't want that pressure. Understand, it's press is extra effort. It's a choice. It's kind of like basketball when you have a full court press. You know, it's a choice you make. What's it mean? It means pressure. Pressure. Well, it's not just pressure on the people trying to get the ball in. It's pressure on you to keep them from getting the ball in. It's pressure all the way down the court. We can either guard them half of the court or we can guard the whole court. It's pressure. I like it. Paul said, I press. It's a choice. Hey, you're not going to reach the mark by chance. It isn't going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's not by chance. It's by choice. It's always going to be by choice. I have decided to press, Paul said. I press toward the mark. And so It is pressure, and it is a choice that we make, and it is toward. Amen? I press toward the mark. You know, honestly, you gotta go forward. Amen? Amen. Hebrews 6:1, let us go on. Forward. Onward. Forward. Shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ is captain of our mighty throng. He's always going forward. Amen. Let us go on. Luke 9, verse 62. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Why? Because you got your plow and you're trying to plow a straight line and you want that thing to go. You can't look back. You got to get your sight with whatever you're going toward, and you got to keep your eye on it. And we got to keep our eyes on Jesus and on that mark. And if you keep your eyes on that mark, you're going to hit it. But you got to keep going forward. Press forward. Amen. Eyes on the mark. Here's our problem. We have somebody over here saying, hey, look over here. We have somebody over here saying, hey, no, look over here. We have somebody back here in our old life saying, hey, wait a minute, come here. Look back here at me, right? And all that peer pressure and all that stuff, you know, trying to get our eyes off of the mark. Everybody in this room has been there before where we cast a glance over at the people over there or over here in the loud crowd, and then we get all messed up. And then we fail at reaching our mark. You know, what was it? What kept you from reading through your Bible last year? What was it? Well, I started out so well. We always start out well, and then we get into Leviticus. Right? And about the time we get into Leviticus, something is on the news that we decide is more important to watch. And, you know, Leviticus, that's kind of tough. And I'm in all that Levitical law kind of stuff. And I think I'll watch the news today. Well, and then we get back into Leviticus and we say, boy, this is tough stuff. And then it's some old show. You know, maybe you decided since Ellie Mae died that you're going to watch all the Beverly Hillbilly reruns. You know, because that, and all of a sudden, you know, all of a sudden, we didn't finish reading through our Bible because something pulled on us from over here, or back there. And we just have to get our eyes on the mark and keep. That's what Paul said. He said, I press toward the mark. And some old acquaintance, you know, you're a radical nut. This is crazy. What are you doing? And you had a great idea and you had a great goal and you were doing so well. And all of a sudden, you know, Paul said to the Galatians, who hath bewitched you? You know, who in the world got you away from the direction you were going? And it's happening all the time. Our eyes go everywhere else and we fail. Some did that in 2014. And yet, I just don't know. Listen to me. Just get up and go. Get your eyes back on the goal, on the mark, and go forward. Amen. I press toward. And understand this. You know, again, we're on talking about determination. If you fall, get up and press on. You know, I preached one time on the king. He said, carry me from the battle. I'm wounded. You know, we ought to be saying, I want to keep fighting. I'm not dead. I may be wounded, but I'm not dead. Amen. I mean, listen, if you're injured, if you have to limp, if you have to hobble, if you have to crawl, keep going toward the mark. If all you go is an inch, keep going. I got news for you. You win an inch, you're doing a whole lot better than somebody who never even set a mark. At least you're going toward. Amen. Yeah, I didn't get very far, but if you went forward, praise God. I press. It's an urgency. I press toward the mark. Number one, we talked about the destination. Number two, the determination. The last thing, number three, is the dedication. Because honestly, it's a dedication. It's just like somebody in the Olympics. They're putting in 8 to 12 hours every day working on winning that gold medal. It's like any kind of prize, any athlete, they're putting a lot of effort, they're dedicating a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of sacrifice into achieving whatever that prize happens to be. And the dedication, we see it with the Apostle Paul. He said, this one thing I do. My focus is on my God. My focus is on pleasing Him. My focus, by the way, you say, well, I've got my work to do. You will never be a better worker for your company, your business, whatever it is you do. You will never be better than when you are focused on the things of the Lord. You'll be the best employee. You'll be the best teacher. You'll be the best maintenance worker. You'll be the best at whatever you do when your focus is on the things of God. Amen. Well, I got my family. Hey, you'll never be a better family member than when you've got your focus on the things of God. Amen. I'm not talking about Berean Baptist Church. I'm talking about your relationship, your goal for the Lord. Because you'll never be a better church member than when you've got your focus on the things of God. The dedication, this one thing I do, he said. I love the little quote, quitters never win. Winners never quit. Amen. And that is always true. Here's his dedication right here, and I'll be done. Three things that we see it. We see the dedication. Here's what he said. He said, first of all, he said, forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting what's behind me. I'm going to forget that. Amen. Amen. It's so good. What's it mean? Number one, it means he's going to forget his failures. You know, it goes back to chapter 3, it goes back to verse 6 here, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He persecuted Christians. Can you imagine? I've often tried to imagine the Apostle Paul going into a church. And so he goes into a church and he says, hey, I'm the visiting evangelist. Oh, really? What's your name? Well, my name's Paul. And they all of a sudden you hear, and he's looking around, you know, I wonder if somebody's going to take me out to eat. They're all scared to death at first. Why? Because what he did was he killed Christians. He had them put in jail. He persecuted Christians. And you know what? When God called him to reach those same people, to teach them, to win their family members, can you imagine? I can just hear him saying, God, what are you doing? These people hate me. I've often wondered about the first time he met Stephen's parents, who he gave consent to be stoned to death. Can you imagine? But what did he have to do? He had to do what God told him. Okay, you have to forget that. That was your old life. There are folks all over this, I'm serious, all over our community here that they've just latched on to that old life and they cannot forget it, and therefore they never move forward for God. Because of whatever you used to do. Oh, you don't understand what I did. You don't understand. It doesn't matter what you did. Forget the failures. Thomas Edison, 999 times he tried to invent a light bulb. And he failed every time, but finally he figured it out. I'm glad he did. Amen. Abe Lincoln, read Abe Lincoln's political history. You'll be amazed how many times he failed. But he became president of the United States of America. What do you know Babe Ruth for? Some of you say, candy bar. Bad. Over 700 home runs. But you know what? Most people don't understand or even think about the fact that he struck out over 1,000 times. 700 home runs, but he struck out. 1,000 times. He let his team down. He struck out. But you know what he's known for? He's known for 700 home runs. Hey, you know, you and I need to forget our strikeouts. Forget those things that are behind. Amen? Forget your failures. Here's another thing to forget. Forget your hurts. Forget your hurts. Come on. Everybody in this room has been hurt. You've been hurt many, many times. Well, when I was a kid, I forget it. Yeah, but so-and-so did. They did. Yeah, but he said that. They did. Forget it. We have to forget it. Forget your hurts. You have to forget your... Yeah, but I was... This was not fair. It's not fair. Okay. Forget it. And go on. Amen. Look at Proverbs 18, 19. I am so close to being done. I may push my remote start. Proverbs 18, verse 19. But I couldn't get away with it, so I won't. Proverbs 18, several of you are going to go ahead and do it. Do yours, right? Look what it says here. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. So is it obvious that someone who's offended, their life is pretty much changed? They can't be won. They can't be won over. They can't, you can't deal with them. Their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Nobody's getting in. Nobody is going to, you're not going to help me. You're not going to be my friend. You're not going to, can you understand how miserable that person is? Amen. This isn't talking about not offending somebody. This is talking about the person being offended. Don't be offended. Well, how can I avoid being? People do me wrong. This person did that. They did this at work. They said this. My family. I've been fighting with my brother or my sister for years now, and we just don't talk and we don't get over it. Don't be offended. You say that sounds good. Look at Psalm 119, 165. I'm telling you, you gotta forget the things that are behind. Psalm 119, 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing out of the law, and I don't think anything. If you really love the Word of God, you believe it, you trust God, and you learn to get over those things. Bitterness will ruin your life, and it will stop you from reaching the goals that you're trying to do, that meant so much to you. It will ruin you. It will keep you from the mark. It'll keep you from it. You got to forget your failures, forget your hurts, and you got to forget yourself. Amen. Amen. Because it's not about you, it's about the mark. Well, I wish everybody would get what I just now said. Honestly, that right there will change your life. If you get it. Romans 12, 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And I've said this many, many times, it's not thinking high of yourself, it's not thinking low of yourself, it's just not thinking of yourself. And the best way in the world to forget the things that are behind is to forget me and to get focused on the mark. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul if all he thought about was himself? I mean, we're in the book of Philippians. Where is Paul when he writes Philippians? He's in jail. And he's done nothing wrong. Are you listening? He writes, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He hasn't done anything wrong. He has whip marks from the prison guard whipping him. But he had to forget about himself. He could have whined, griped, complained, and every one of us would have looked at his Facebook page and we would have said, I understand. He said, there's no way in this world I'm gonna complain, I'm gonna gripe, I'm gonna whine, he said, because there's something more important. And that's the mark. Forget. Dedication. First thing, forget. Second thing, back to Philippians 3, verse 16. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained. He said, wherever you have already arrived, you've attained in some areas, you've grown to a certain place. Let us walk by the same rule. let us mind the same thing. In other words, he's saying, I need to forget what's behind, but he said, I need to maintain what's right in my life. I need to keep doing it. Hey, if you read through your Bible last year, do it again. If you had a certain time of prayer and you did it faithfully last year, do it again. If you tithed, maybe the first time, 2014, hey, I made it, I tithed, do it again. Gave to missions, do it again. Soul winning, do it again. Everything that you did right, do it again. Keep doing it. Maintain it. Keep going. One of my favorite verses at the end of the year, 2 John verse 8. Any chapter will do. 2 John 8, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Amen. Everything I've worked for, I want to get the reward for what I did. So keep going. Maintain. Dedication, forget, maintain. And again, here's the action. Here's what a lot of people, we don't like it. Reach. Reach. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. There is a running and there's a reaching. And reaching is, I am desperate to get it. Reaching. What do you mean? Do more. Maintain, do more. You read through your Bible, read more. You prayed, pray more. You learned to trust God, trust Him more. You learned to love, you love God, you love Christians, you love the lost, love more. You had compassion, have more compassion. You're busy serving God, serve Him more. You gave, give more. You confess, you got right with God, well, get right with God more. You stood for right. Do it more. Do it more. And that's what Paul's, that's how he kept going. He said, I've not arrived. I have not achieved everything that needs to be achieved. But he said, I press toward the mark. I would encourage you, 2015, unless you've already arrived. Now, if you have, we can have an invitation for everybody who's arrived. And I got a feeling there won't be anybody up here. And I'm going to come down there if that's the invitation, because I haven't arrived. But if you haven't arrived, I would encourage you this year, press toward the mark. Press toward the mark. It requires a destination. You got to decide what's the area. Your mark is not my mark. Your goal is not my goal. I press toward the mark. There's a destination. There needs to be determination. You have to decide. It's a choice we make. And it requires dedication. You know, this one thing I do, Paul said. And you got to get focused on it, folks. It'll change every area of your life. Don't let the devil lie to you and say, well, if you ignore this. No, you get your focus on Jesus and His will for your life, and it will affect everything in a good way, every part of your life. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head's bowed, every eye.